So I'm going to call this meeting to order, the Joint Subcommittee on Information Technology for May 21st. And the first order of business is the Department of Human Services and Oregon Health Authority, their POP on something called REAL Plus D. Would you tell us about that?
Senator Riley, members of the committee, actually, again, with our split of responsibilities, we have Bob Cummings here. He's the analyst for this particular project.
Okay.
Bob, could you give an overview of his recommendation or other project?
The recommendation at this point.
For the record, my name is Bob Cummings. I'm with the LFO.
Of the committee. The LFO recommendation, which we provided at the previous hearing, was the following. Based upon LFO's review of the agency's request and its questions concerns related to the proposed revised approach, LFO recommends incremental conditional approval of the POP, of the two POPs, 201, assuming the funding and personnel resources are made available to DHS and OHA within the 2015-17 budget. Specifically, LFO recommends that the proposed funding for any needed planning activities be approved and any remaining funds be unscheduled by the Department of Administrative Services. LFO further recommends that the Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority should return to the Joint Interim Committee on Ways and Means or the 2016 legislature session to report on their progress on the planning activities for the project and to provide a more detailed analysis of why the revised approach is a better option. LFO and DAS Chief's Financial Office will ask to have the appropriate amount of funding rescheduled once the project has reported and is ready to move. The LFO felt that in order to recommend approval of all the funding, that it would have to have a better idea of exactly what the revised approach was, why it was chosen instead of the previous version, and we put planning monies in there to allow DHS and OHA to provide that additional analysis if needed and to come back to both the LFO and DAS Chief Financial Office with that so that we could at that point make a recommendation as to rescheduling the balance of the funds.
Thank you. I'm going to open a work session on the POP 201 for the Department of Human Services and Oregon Health Authority. And the chair moves that we accept the LFO recommendations and move this to the Substantive Committee with no recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And I'm going to close that work session. And I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3099. You want to tell us about that, Sean?
Absolutely. Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee. House Bill 3099 relates to state information technology. The bill would transfer certain duties, powers, and functions related to information technology and telecommunications from the Oregon Department of Administrative Services to the state chief information officer. The measure provides that the state CIO is the primary information technology and telecommunications advisor for the governor and that the state CIO duties are specified by the governor. The bill also makes changes to existing statutes to clarify the respective duties, functions, and powers of DAS and the DAS director for enterprise IT operations and IT procurement with those duties, powers, and functions of the state CIO for enterprise IT planning, policy, rulemaking, standard setting, and oversight. As you all know, the materials related to the bill and any amendments, et cetera, are posted on OLIS. I would like to briefly describe the recommended amendment, the A8 amendment. The A8 amendment makes further changes to existing statutes to transfer the duties, functions, and powers of DAS and the DAS director for enterprise IT and telecommunications operations and service delivery to the state CIO. The A8 amendment modifies proposed changes to ORS 184.477 to give the state CIO flexibility in enforcing terms and conditions of IT contracts. And finally, the amendment deletes specific proposed changes to ORS 279A.050 and ORS 291.047. The effect of these DOJ requested deletions is simply to revert back to existing statutory language.
So, CIO Pettit, if you would like to address this, that'd be great.
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, and members of the IT subcommittee. For the record, my name is Alex Pettit. I serve as the Chief Information Officer for the State of Oregon. I'm here today to provide some brief testimony on House Bill 3099. First, let me say on behalf of Governor Brown, I want to express our appreciation for the legislature's focus on this important area of state government operations. As this is a shared and timely area of interest, I'm happy to be able to express our support for House Bill 3099 amended. 3099 transfers the policy, as Sean had gone through and talked about here, the planning, rulemaking, policy adoption, standards setting, and oversight related duties, powers, and responsibilities for state government and IT and telecommunications from DAS and the DAS director to the state CIO. By state government and IT and telecommunications, I'm referring to all things related to statewide or enterprise-wide information technology, information resource management, information security, GIS, and geographic information systems. Sorry about that. I slip into geek every once in a while. And telecom. Also, House Bill 3099 confirms that the duties of the state CIO are specified by the governor and that the state CIO serves as the governor's primary advisor in all matters related to enterprise IT and telecommunications. We're also aware that an amendment has been introduced, the A8 amendment, that would take the next step and transfer the operational and service delivery duties, powers, and responsibilities for enterprise IT and telecommunications from DAS and the DAS director to the state CIO. If adopted, this amendment would enable the transfer of supervisory and operational authority over the DAS Enterprise Technology Services Division, which includes the State Data Center, State Voice and Data Networks, Oregon's e-government program, application support for statewide administrative information systems like finance and HR and procurement from DAS to the state CIO. Right now, those are not under the state CIO's authority. They're under the DAS director's authority. Here, too, I'm happy to say that Governor Brown and I emphatically support the A8 amendment's transfer of those statewide operational and service delivery duties, powers, and responsibilities from DAS and the DAS director to the state CIO. We believe that the transfer of both policy and operations authority from DAS to the state CIO will provide for a better alignment of the resources and management authority and give much-needed clarity on leadership roles, responsibilities, and accountability for the enterprise IT and telecommunications throughout the executive branch of state government. We thank the IT subcommittee for its focus on this on the area of telecom and telecommunications IT, and this concludes my testimony. At this point, I'd be glad to answer any questions you all might have.
Representative Nearman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So thanks for your presentation, Director Pettit. So it says you're going to add 12 positions at the cost of $3.4 million, but isn't this the whole idea of this bill, isn't it kind of just a reshuffling of authority there? It appears to me that you shouldn't need to add any new positions, right? You're just going to kind of steal them from DAS, right? That somewhere in the food chain, they already exist somewhere, right? So you shouldn't have to add, certainly not 12 positions, right?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, Representative Nearman, thank you for the question. So what has happened over the years prior to, and I don't have the exact numbers for you, but since the split of operations and policy, the policy group for the IT group, the CIO's office, was originally at right around 50 people. We're down, that has been reduced over the years to less than 20. So the breadth of responsibilities that we currently have and what's reflected in POP 105 is simply trying to go back to, or not to recover all that lost ground, but but specifically the lost ground around oversight of major technology projects with four analysts and myself and four security people and then right now we've got six GIS positions, two of which are grant funded and they'll be going away. With 80 some odd projects that are out there in flight for us to try to stay on top of and quality assure and keep on tap and everything else, it comes to something like 8 projects for each of us, 8 or 9 projects apiece, which is quite a lot when you're looking at some of the size of these projects. And so we've had to rely more and more on LFO's staff's help to keep up with those. We're trying to get back with our stage gate methodology. We're trying to get a routine process in place. We have to build the capacity to be able to support that. That's really what POP 105 was for. That was done without any thought at all about 3099 and the responsibilities that entails. So 105 is just my responsibilities as the oversight. Whether 3099 passes or not, that's about addressing a fundamental failure of my office to have capacity to do the job we're currently charged with. 3099 is bringing the operational responsibilities under the state CIO.
Thank you. Can I have a follow-up?
Sure.
So you have about 80 projects that are going on right now. So who's doing the oversight on those right now then? Is it LFO or is there anybody in your office that's doing that? Or?
Well, thank you for the question. There are 4 ITIP analysts. We have 3 what we call strategic technology officers, although because of the transfer of authority, I've taken a couple of them out of those roles, and so now I only have 1 strategic technology officer who helped me with the oversight of those projects. So roughly there's 5 of us that do that, plus myself. And so that's quite a few projects for us to be staying on top of. So we do depend a great deal on Bob and Sean's help with that. We have to. There's just not the capacity to do it ourselves. So,
thank you,
Senator Whitson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mr. Pettit, following on that line of questioning, in sitting in this committee, I can't help but notice the glacial speed with which these projects are moving forward. Will adding additional staff, do you anticipate adding additional staff to your shop will improve that function? Will it speed it up?
Chair Riley, Representative Nathan, Senator Whitson, thank you for the question. I hope that it will be able to. One of the things that's a deficiency of mine and that the agencies are struggling with right now, very candidly, is I haven't fully defined all the components to the stage gate. There were a number of pieces that you saw that we needed to create templates or examples for, and we're doing those in real time right now. So the direct answer to your question, sir, is yes. It's my anticipation that this will help us finally complete the stage gate process, and then in turn to be able to help the agencies to go through the process of building the things that they need to execute successfully projects of any magnitude. And we just haven't that. We don't have the capacity in my shop today to do that.
Follow up. So what effect, getting these positions, what effect will that have on your overall cost like an enterprise budget for DMV or OHA or whatever? I mean, one thing that strikes me is we have a lot of very, very high-paid employees that are spending a lot of time waiting on one another to get things done, and that has to cost a lot of money. I'm not even sure it's being accounted, but it's when it takes 3 years to get started to get ready, it's costing a lot of money. So do you anticipate that filling these positions will, again, reduce that? You know, will the cost of filling those positions be more than offset by reducing the time frame?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, Senator Whitsitt, the thing that my expectation is, and the reason that I feel that I was brought to Oregon was as much to prevent calamitous IT projects as much as it is to put wheels on the process. It's it's not always procurement's best measure how many things that they procure, but rather are they done in a way that is responsible and legal and the way that we're supposed to be doing them. My expectation is we have suspended, and you've seen some of the things that are suspended, some of the projects that are suspended by the stage gate process today. It's about a dozen or so. It could be 10. It could be, but it's about a dozen projects that we've put on hold because they've been unable to meet stage gate requirements. My belief is that prior to this process that we put in place, those dozen projects would have gone forward, more than likely resulting in a large amount of money being spent without good results from an IT standpoint. So project failures. So it's both trying to, we do want to be respectful of the agency's need to get things done, but we also are stewards of the public trust, and we have to do these things in a way that is responsible and that will ensure success. And if they're not being successful, to stop the investment of the public's funds, we have to.
Thank you. And follow up. I certainly ascribe to let's stop having IT disasters. I'm not sure you answered the question as far as do you anticipate you're talking about cost avoidance, unexpected or unnecessary cost avoidance, but you're I don't know again whether you were able to address the other question. One thing that would be very helpful, I believe, for the legislators in our state of frustration is to have an enterprise budget for these operations. For instance, we talked with the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they do not anticipate reducing their number of employees because they will retrain them and push them into another field. That's really not the point of the enterprise budget. We're looking for, will this budget do what it's supposed to do and save money or cost more money or what, you know, that sort of thing. And that, I think, that enterprise budget has to include the ongoing cost of labor while you're going through the planning process. And that'd be very helpful to us because it's hard to say when we're looking at, not that we don't trust anyone, but after a few disasters,
Yes, sir. And so, in the role of oversight, so we'll have two roles now under 3099. We'll have two different responsibilities. One is in operations, as you speak of, the operation of the state data center, which heretofore has not been my obligation or responsibility. And except by executive order, I should correct myself. Governor Brown did order that I take responsibility for it. And but in the oversight role, which I still maintain, again, our goal is not so much. I mean, we do want to get things through, and we want people to not have to wait on us. Absolutely, but at the same time, my goal is to prevent things from under this structure from being. I do not want to make another John Oliver video, and so. As a consequence of that, it will mean that, and I do believe that in those 12 projects that dozen or so projects that are suspended potentially could have been something embarrassing to us. We intend, these are still things that are needed. These are still things the state desires. They're still important. We intend to help the agencies get through this process and being able to increase our capacity. We think we will be able to fulfill that need and fulfill it in a more timely manner. But there's something to be said by not being on the front page of the Oregonian.
Oh, I agree, Paul. There's another line of questioning. The Dash 8 amendments appear to essentially create two agencies within DAS and two separate heads of those agencies that report to the governor. Do you anticipate any problem with that structure?
No, I don't. I actually had operated under the same structure in Oklahoma. So we had what we called the Oklahoma Management, OMES, Oklahoma Management and Enterprise Services Group. And the director of finance, who was a cabinet secretary, we had a cabinet secretary form of government, secretary of finance, and myself, secretary of IT, both reported to the governor, both were appointed by the governor, both had our own, and so we had no problem with that. I operated in that for 4 years in that situation, and it didn't turn out to be a problem. So, generally speaking, people work for the state because of commitment. You know, it's not authority or what have you. And I've been very, very fortunate to find the same thing is true here. It's a commitment to serving the people of the state of Oregon.
Okay. And one final question.
Sure.
This fiscal is one of the more bizarre ones that I've seen in that it's essentially saying you think you need more staff, but you may not, but then again you may. And so I was just wondering, it's my understanding this will be moved on to general government.
Correct.
So we'll be seeing you again. Will you have a more succinct request for positions by then?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, Senator Whitson, yes, sir. We our expectation is, as we're in kind of a, our situation is right now we're uncertain of our POP 105, which is what Representative Nierman had brought up and talked about. That is the one with the 12 additional positions. Should that find favor of the legislature, then we do not anticipate there's a fiscal impact to this, to doing this. If there is if that POP should fail, POP 105 should fail to gain support, then we will have to look at the additional responsibilities, particularly around procurement that are in House Bill 3099. And ascertain what level of resource we would need to have for that. It is a bad answer, and I appreciate that, but I'm unable at this point to separate out those two asks, because if POP 105 goes through, there's no fiscal impact. If POP 105 does not go through, I'm going to have to come with my hat in my hand to ask for resources to accomplish the contractual response, to fulfill the contractual responsibilities that we're being assigned.
Thank you, Mr. Pettit.
There are questions? Do I have a motion about the Dash 8 amendment?
Senator Riley, just one second. Let me pull that up. As the committee knows, I did post an LFO packet on the site. And
before I do that, I have to work in a work session.
You do? Yes.
So,
So I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3099, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3099. Go ahead, Sean.
Certainly, yeah. Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, LFO does recommend adoption of the A8 amendment. And so we need a motion to move to adopt the A8 amendment to House Bill 3099.
Mr. Chair, would you like that motion now?
Please.
I move to adopt the Dash A8 amendment.
Representative, thank you, Nathanson, has moved to adopt the A8 amendment to House Bill 3099. Discussion. Any objection? It is amended.
Great. And then we do have a need for a second motion to move House Bill 3099 to the General Government Subcommittee with a recommendation that the General Government Subcommittee, recommend to the full committee that the measure be amended by the A8 amendment.
Mr. Chair, the words that were just said, that's the motion that I'd like to make.
Representative Nathanson moves that we forward the House Bill 3099 as amended to the General Government Subcommittee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm very enthusiastic about this. I think this is a layer of accountability that's very necessary, and I'll enthusiastically vote yes on this.
Thank you.
Yes.
Question for Mr. McSpadden. Did you say that this motion was that we would be moving this to the General Government Subcommittee for them to adopt the Dash 8 Amendment?
No.
So, Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, in the memo I posted on OLIS, the motion is to move House Bill 3099 to the General Government Subcommittee with a recommendation that it recommend to the full committee that the measure be amended by the A8 amendment. And in part, the reason for that motion is so that the fiscal impact of House Bill 3099A and the A8 amendment can be fully considered by the committee that is reviewing the agency's budget, going to be acting on the agency's budget bill.
Interesting. Unfortunately, we just amended it. So it is already amended, and the motion on the floor to move it as amended. And I think we can go ahead and do that if the full Ways and Means wants to change that, they have that option. So the motion is on the table. Any other discussion? Is there any objection? So ordered. That's everything we have for today. It's a short and easy session, and I appreciate everybody's questions and the response from the CIO, and we're going to adjourn. CIO, and we're going to adjourn. Response from the CIO.